that had gone across the sidewalk and pulled his bicycle into a tree. Unfortunately, the tree won the battle, and little Melvin was on the ground with his arm twisted backwards. He broke his arm. When the neighbors heard the commotion of the wreck and went running outside and saw little Melvin looking at his arm sideways, and Melvin began to cry, and the neighbor went running up to him and said, "Melvin," he says, "I want my mom and daddy." "Well, just a second, Melvin, we're going to go and call them. They're going to be here in just a minute." "I want my mom and daddy," he kept screaming over and over and over again. They couldn't do anything to help him. "Come on, Melvin, it's okay. Sit down. We're going to take care of you. I want my mom and dad." They're on their way, Melvin. They're on their way. And he bawled and he squalled and he screamed and he hollered, "I want my mom and daddy. I want my mom and daddy." It seemed like forever, but it was just a couple minutes because Melvin hadn't gotten very far away from the house, maybe two houses away. And they came running down the road and they got there and they said, "Oh, Melvin, what's wrong?" And he told them, "I hit that tree and the tree hit me and hurt me. And oh, I'm never riding a bike again," and just squalling. But when he realized the presence of his mom and dad were there, he calmed right down. There's something about the presence of your parents, of a loved one, who brings peace and comfort in the problems of life. We've sang about it this morning, talking about God's presence, about what God has done for us, and how God has taken care of us. My brothers and sisters, my God is alive. How about yours? Oh, come on now. Have y'all gone to sleep already? Let me try that again. My God is alive. How about yours? He's alive, and he's very present, not only in times of trouble, but in times of wonderful experiences in life. I want us to turn with you, if you would, to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John, not St. John, not the fourth gospel, but 1 John, way towards the end of the Bible. You got Revelation, then you got Jude, then you got 3 John, 2 John, you got 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Now, John knows what it's like to want to have the presence of God in his life. We know that John was one of the 12 original apostles. We know that he walked with Jesus all the time. We know, matter of fact, from the Gospel of John, he shares the life of Jesus that he was there. But John knows what it was like to want the presence of God, to want the presence of Jesus Christ. And here he is writing this epistle to some folks who are dealing with a lot of issues. And unlike other epistles, this epistle just jumps right into it. He doesn't greet. He doesn't say any kind of salutations. He just jumps right into it, kind of like him trying to help us to understand that God is with us. Have you ever wondered in your mind, does God really care? Does God really know? Is God even aware of what's taking place in this world? I'm sure John thought those words, but he's wanting to encourage the church. He's wanting to encourage all believers that God is indefinite, real. Look at verse number 1. He jumps right into it. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." He jumps right in and he says, "Listen, I was with Jesus Christ from the very beginning. I fed with him. I slept around a campfire with him. I heard him. I saw him. I touched him. I saw his weeping. I saw his joy. I was with Jesus Christ himself." See, he was writing these words probably about 80 AD. So Jesus had been dead and resurrected for almost 50 years when he was writing these words. And he was writing these words to people who had never physically seen Jesus Christ. They had heard the teaching, evidently, because John was writing this to a bunch of believers. They had known about Jesus Christ, but they never physically saw him. And as always in this church and as other churches, there was always divisions. There was always wondering, well, is God really real? Did Jesus Christ really come? We haven't seen him, but we know we've heard about him. But we need to have that tangible evidence. Sometimes we as Christians need that tangible evidence to know what's really said is really true. I think of the Christians, it talked about in Hebrews chapter number 11, talking about by faith, they believed. Even though the promise didn't come to them while they're still alive, they still believed what was going to happen, happened. Even when they were watching their relatives get sawn in half. Could you imagine being inside of a log, a hollowed out log, and somebody taking a saw, not one of these power saws, I'm talking about a handsaw, and sawing them apart? How many of you would like to go through that kind of treatment? That'd be disastrous. It'd be horrible. Can you imagine watching that take place? But the Bible clearly teaches that that took place to several Christians. Could you imagine them saying, all you got to do is say that God isn't real. All you got to do is say that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah. That's all you got to do, and we'll stop the saw. Brothers and sisters, if there's ever a time you want the presence of God, it's right then and there. You talk about a book, the Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you don't have that book, you've never read, I want to encourage you, get that book. But don't get it thinking, oh, it's going to be a wonderful little book. No, it talks about all those who gave their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. All those who stood and say, I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm not going to trust anything else. These were people that were burned. These were people that were tortured. These are people who were killed because they stood up and said, yes, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Brothers and sisters, John is trying to help them understand and to realize that Jesus Christ is real. Let me ask you, and you don't need to answer this out loud, but I want you to analyze this in your mind. Is Jesus really real? Did he really come and leave heaven and come down to earth and walk amongst men and die on an old rugged cross, a brutal death? Did he really die and bleed? Did they really take him down from the cross? Did they really put him in a grave? Did he really stay there for 3 days and rise again on that Sunday morning? Did he really do that? And then he really come back to life? That's a fanciful tale. I mean, really, that's a fanciful tale. Did it really happen? How many of you saw that happen? Now, there's some of you old enough to have seen it happen. I'm just teasing. Did it really happen? Well, yeah, I believe it, Brother Brian. Well, if you don't believe it, you can't be saved. Yes, I do believe it, Brian. Well, how can you prove it? Well, I can't prove it. You have to take the testimony and the word of people who actually saw it happen. I was listening to the football game yesterday. Alabama and Utah State. One of those barn burners. And I sat there listening on the phone because it wasn't on television. I sat there listening, and I was listening to the announcers talk about what was taking place and who had the ball and who was doing what. And I was listening to them, and I could imagine in my mind's eye what was taking place. Now, what if somebody was just sitting off somewhere making it up as it happened? What if they were just sitting there saying, well, this happened and it really didn't take place? I was trusting that announcer who was present at the ball game to tell me what took place. I was trusting that. How many of you ever been in the same situation where you were trusting what somebody was telling you, but you couldn't see it? Okay. So how do I know it was really true? Because later on I got to see some highlights. But here's the thing. How did I know that what the man was telling me through an earpiece really was taking? I was trusting him. Tell me, how do you know that Jesus Christ really came to earth? How do you know that he really walked on the earth? How do you know that he really died and bled and was buried and rose again? How do you know? You got to trust someone who was there. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle John was there. He saw it happen. He was there when Jesus Christ was killed on the cross. He was there when he was buried. He was there when he rose again. And so if John saw these things, don't you think we ought to pay attention? to what John is saying? You need Jesus Christ's presence in your life. If you have Jesus Christ, you've got the presence of God in your life at all times. Now go back and let's look at what John says here. This is very, very important. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. See, he's not just claiming himself. He's talking about others who had seen him. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Could you imagine sitting around a campfire with Jesus Christ? Can you imagine the fire burning down and he's sitting there talking, you've just got through eating and he's breathing out these words? Can you? How many of you would have liked to have been there? Man, I would have loved to hear what he taught. I would have loved to have seen his expressions. I would have, but you know what? We have it right here. This is what he taught. This is exactly what he did. He shares with us what he did and what he said and everything that was going on. Well, I've got to see it. Well, I'll never see it on this earth, but I see it in his words. John saw them. John heard them. But you know what's more important, even more encouraging? John touched Jesus Christ. Melvin was screaming on the road, my arm, I'm hurting, I want my mom and daddy. But when his mom and daddy came finally, it was like peace came upon him. Do you need to see God this morning in your life? Do you need the presence of God to show up to give you peace? Do you need some kind of miracle manifestation of his power and his grace to show you that he's really who he is? Well, let me give you some signs of God's presence. Number one, the sweet cry of a little baby. That's the sign of God's presence. The sunset or the sunrise, that's the sign of God's presence. Here's another one. Look around you. Look around you. Come on, look around you. Some of you you're refusing to do it. Look around you. That's a sign of God's presence. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even that one you look at in the mirror every day, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's God's presence. That can't be accidental. Because if it was accidental, my goodness gracious, God wasn't up in heaven mixing chemicals and said, oops, look what I made. No, it was intentional. You know why God made you to be an annoyance to other people? No, God made you because he loves you. I'm glad God ain't done with us yet. Amen. So John said, I didn't only see him, I heard him, but I also touched him. Now, but what's so important and vital of that? What's so important and vital realizing that God, that John spent his time with Jesus Christ because he was the creator of the universe? Let me show you. Go to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. This is why it's so important. This is why it's so important. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Go to the book of Revelation and go backwards, 65 books. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. Genesis 1:1 says this. In the beginning. What is the beginning? When did the beginning take place? Come on, Bible scholars, help me out. When did the beginning take place? In the beginning. In the beginning. When there was nothing. In the beginning. All right? So, at the grassroots, at the very beginning, when nothing else existed but God, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So, Bible scholars, who created the heaven and the earth? You're in church, you can say it out loud. Who did it? God did. God did. And when did God create the heaven and the earth? In the beginning. Hey, there you go. You're learning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I'm not going to try to convince you of the Big Bang Theory that didn't happen and the gap theory and all that. That's for a whole different time. But if my Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that's got to be my faith. I wasn't there. It takes just as much faith to believe that God didn't create everything as it does to believe that God did create everything. Either God did create everything or He didn't. Your eternity is based upon one or the other. Either God did or God didn't. If God didn't, and if this is just man's words written down to just salve our consciences, then you have no hope of eternity. You've got nothing to look forward to. There is no peace and comfort waiting for you. There is nothing that's going to help you in this life. You're going to die, and you're going to cease to exist, or you're going to die, and you're going to go to hell, and there is no hope if God did not write those words. So, did God create the heavens and the earth? Do you believe that? So, if this is not a lie, then that tells me that my eternity is based upon a God who is real and exists, wants me to know Him. See, God didn't just simply sit up in heaven and say, I'm going to create a few trees and the mountains and rocks. And I'm going to create these beautiful rivers. I'm going to create this beautiful place called Western North Carolina where everybody who's anybody is going to live in Western North Carolina. They're not going to move to Florida. They're not going to move other places. They're going to stay in Western North Carolina. Did God really do that? Or did it just happen by accident? Guess what, brothers and sisters? Either God did it or it just happened. I believe my Bible says that God did it. In the beginning, God created. Now, just in case you need another reference, go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, by the same author who wrote 1 John. Look what John says here in chapter number 1. Find John chapter number 1, St. John chapter 1. Some of you have it referenced there. Some of you have got the Gospel according to John. However, it's labeled in your Bible. John chapter number 1, verse number 1. John writes these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he wrote these words probably a little bit after he wrote 1 John. Maybe just right around the same time period. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So identifies who the Word was. It's identifying when the Word came into existence. In the beginning, He was always there. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. All right, Bible scholars, here we go. In the beginning was who? Jesus, the Word, God, who created everything. Oh, come on, y'all. God did, Jesus Christ. Where was the world before it was formed? In the mind of God. He's always existed. He created everything. And then look what it says. And it says, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, Jesus, God, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was death. What was in Jesus Christ? Life, not death. Why was Melvin so happy to see his mom and daddy? Because it brought relief and hope of life seeing his mom and daddy. Why was John so insistent in starting out this epistle and starting out 1 John with the fact that he saw and realized and touched and heard the love of God personally? Because it would give hope and life. Now we're going to, God willing, we're going to go through the entire book of 1 John on Sunday mornings. But I want to tell you this morning, brothers and sisters. God is real. He exists. And He is the key to life. Now, you say, Brother Brian, how do you know? You weren't there. You're right. I wasn't there. But I know and hear and read after somebody who was there. So how do I know the announcers last night were telling me the truth? I had to believe what they were saying. They could have said Godzilla came in and destroyed the whole stadium. And I would have had to believe it because I wasn't there. I'm believing what this says because John was there. Now quickly, go back with me to 1 John real quick. Go back to 1 John really quick. I got so excited I tore it out of my Bible. 1 John, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And then he says in parentheses here to understand this, he says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we show it unto you. Here it is. Here's the reason. That eternal life was which the Father and was manifested unto us. That's why Jesus came for eternal life for us. Jesus didn't just come to put on a show. He didn't just show up to do a little miracle here and a little miracle there. He didn't just come to deliver Israel. He came to give us eternal life. How do you know that, Brother Brian? Because God used John to write these words. And I believe it, even though I haven't seen it with these eyes. I've seen it with these eyes. Well, Brother Brian, I need hope today. I need strength today. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God. My yesterday's gone. How do I know? How do I know that Jesus really left heaven and came down here? Because someone who saw him wrote it down. Because God said, John, give this to people so they can have hope. That old saying, N-O Jesus, N-O hope. But K-N-O-W Jesus, K-N-O-W hope. For those of you who can't spell very well, no hope, no Jesus, no Jesus, no hope. I saw the look of confusion. Because Jesus lives, we also live because of what He's done for us. So let me ask you a question as we close this morning. Let me ask you a question. Do you have hope of eternal life? Do you have that hope? The only way of having eternal life is trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me show you what I heard, a bunch of zippers. I didn't say close your Bibles yet. Go to 1 John chapter 5 real quick. Let me show you something here. 1 John chapter number 5. I got you. This is the key verse to the whole book right here. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. And this is why I believe God wanted me to share this book with you as we go through it on Sunday mornings. John writes these words, of course, inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was leading John to write these words. Here's what John writes. Has these things, this epistle that I'm writing to you, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. If you believe on the name of the Son of God, this is why John wrote these words, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's why God used John to write these words. So you can have hope. Why did Melvin call for his mom and daddy? Because they brought him hope. Why do we call upon Jesus Christ? Because it gives us hope. Do you know Jesus Christ? And I'm not just talking about with your mind. Do you know Jesus Christ with your soul? That gives you eternal life. Let's all stand together this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. John wrote about what he saw. And when John wrote these words, he wrote it so that the readers would have hope. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, let me ask you a question. Please, bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ? Would you raise your hand and say, yes, Brother Brian, I have that hope. There's no doubt in my mind I have that hope. Praise the Lord. May I ask you, if you couldn't raise your hand this morning, what are you hoping in then? What is your faith and trust in? Is it in a man? Is it in yourself? Is it in a circumstance? Oh, please, I'm begging you. I don't know who didn't raise their hand because I didn't look. But let me ask you a question this morning. If your hope is not in Jesus, what is your hope in? May I ask you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? He'll never leave you or forsake you. And I know that He was here because John saw it and John wrote about it. I have hope in what the Bible says because Jesus Christ is real. So let me beg you this morning, would you trust Christ as your Savior? Is the Spirit drawing you to Him right now, saying, come and trust me? Whatever the need is this morning, if you know Christ as your Savior and you need hope, call upon Him. Talk to Him. He knows. If you need salvation, it only comes through Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives eternal life. Won't you call upon His name? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. That's our hope. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts, you know our needs this morning. Lord, you saw the hands that went up saying that yes, their hope is in Christ. But Lord, you also saw those who didn't raise their hands. And I don't know who that is in here, but you do. And I'm asking you, God, I'm asking you to draw them to you today. That they would repent of their sins. And they would ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. He's the only hope we have. For those who know Christ as their Savior, that need hope, may you give them that hope this morning, that strength to take another step. That step to lead towards closer relationship with you. Comfort their hearts. Comfort their souls today. In Christ's precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you have a need this morning, I invite you to come. If you need us to pray with you, we will. But I'm asking you to come right now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just respond as God is speaking to your heart today about, won't you come today? Our hope is in Jesus. Thank you.
knows your heartache. He knows your rejoicing. Our hope is in Christ. Don't give up. Jesus Christ is alive. You have hope. That's hope's name is Jesus.
Seated just for a moment. See, up and down, we're trying to get the blood moving here, okay? Up and down this morning. All right? Tomorrow's Labor Day.